WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning. Welcome, church. It is good to be here together, and we're going to hear some chimes. We go. So welcome on this lovely, slightly chilly, but lovely day. It'll be a good day for a church picnic, so please stay. Welcome if you haven't been here for a while. Welcome if you were here yesterday. Welcome if you grew up in this church. Welcome if you are new here. Welcome if you have been part of the UCC all of your life. Welcome if you grew up Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian or nothing. Welcome whatever your background, whatever your abilities, whatever your age, whoever you are, whatever your journey, you're welcome here. A few announcements before we get started. Our greeter this morning is Rose. Herm Chudy is our liturgist. Our radio sponsor, Dennis, Melissa, Zach, and Frankie Kahn, in memory of Chris Kahn, Casper and Clara Kahn, Dave Kahn, Bob Kahn, Mary Kahn Risberg, Al and Elaine Osmansky, did I get that right? And Kathy Hogendyke. Thank you. If you would like to sponsor a radio program, it's $90 a week. And we have folks who listen every week on the radio. It does matter. As I said, we do have our church picnic today after, so please stay for that. Because we are having the church picnic, we will not have adult education today. We will be back to that next week. And one change. We had planned for next week to be the animal blessing service. And there was some miscommunication, and so we're going to have that on the 12th. And next week we will celebrate World Communion Sunday. So for the 12th, if you have an animal, a pet, who would enjoy something like this and would behave themselves appropriately at church, appropriately-ish, I mean, we're us, please bring your pet. If you don't have an animal who would enjoy coming to something like this, then you could bring a photo or a toy, something else, and we will bless that. We can bless from a little distance as well. For those of you who have met him, you all know that my dog is not coming. Love him so much, he would lose his little mind. Whatever he has still of it. So, next week is World Communion Sunday, and then the 12th is Animal Blessing. It'll be fun. All of it'll be fun. And we will celebrate Birthday Sunday next Sunday as well. We've started that first Sunday of the month, celebrate all the birthdays for the month, and you will have an opportunity to give to the charity of the month. All right. So now let's turn our hearts and minds to worship and listen to our first UCC welcome statement. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. First UCC, Sauk City, is an open and affirming congregation. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First UCC. So come to worship and be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. Now let's take a few moments to come into this holy time and this holy space. In the Benedictine tradition, they call it statio, a minute. To stop and let go of all the things you're carrying and just be here. Deep breath.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. In the presence of God, let us consider. What stands in the way of satisfaction? We question the stories we are told by empire.
We consider the values we hold dear.
Seeking the guidance of God's love for all life.
We open to the possibility of change.
Trusting God and each other, let us grow in faith.
Let us grow in faith.
Amen.
And our hymn is number 498 in the New Century Hymnal. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Thank you. And now we have a time of passing the peace. As always, some are very comfortable with this and some are not. It's okay to stay in your seat. It's okay to wander. It's okay to hug people who want to be hugged. And then after that, we will have a choir anthem. I was looking at the back of her head. Oh.
I don't think there's a day that any of us have experienced that we can't be thankful for something. In this piece we found, it's called Song of Thanks by Russell Mabee. But if you listen very closely to the text, it kind of mirrors the morning that we've experienced. It was 48 degrees when I woke this morning, and it's going to be probably in the mid-80s by afternoon, and it just talks about how we need to give thanks.
Have time with kids. Do our kiddos want to come down? Here they come. Hello. Hi. Hey. Hi, George. Hi.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Yeah? How's school going?
Good.
Is it? Oh, good. I am glad to hear that for you, too. Okay. We'll talk more later.
Today, when you go to Sunday school, we are going to hear a story about a very poor man and a very rich man. And Jesus tells us that every morning, this rich man would walk right past the poor man. The poor man was starving, and he sat outside the rich man's house. He didn't have a home. He didn't have anything. And the rich man knew he was there. He knew he existed, but he didn't talk to him. He didn't help him. He didn't do anything at all for him. What do you think Jesus thinks about this?
He's sad.
Yeah. Yes, he's sad. Jesus is so upset that a person would do this. He wants us to see when people around us are having a hard time. Do you know anybody at school who might be having kind of a hard time? With anything. You don't have to tell me. That's okay. Sometimes people feel sad. Sometimes people have their feelings hurt. Sometimes people forgot to bring their lunch. And Jesus says we should notice them. And we should do what we can to help them. He wants us to know that in this story, the rich man and the poor man, they're supposed to be family, but they're not. So, tired today? Yeah, I get that. Anybody else? Want to do a big stretch? Okay. All right, let's pray. Holy God, bless these kids. Bless all the children in our lives. Bless the children in our families, in our hearts. The children still to come. May they grow in wisdom and in faith. May they grow in love of you, love of their neighbors, love of themselves. May they look around and see others who are less fortunate. May they see people who might need help. May they see with Jesus' eyes. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. And then you can go to Sunday school. Here's Mrs. Noltner waiting. And now please join me in our prayer of unburdening. Holy One, we are bombarded with empires' messages about who we should be, what we should care about, or what we could become if only we made enough money or gained enough power. Remind us again what you wish for us. It is so hard not to listen and believe them, to imagine greater world than the world offers. Amen. And hear this assurance of God's grace. The divine calls to us all the time, telling us other stories that leave us less tired, more connected, perceiving the world altogether differently. God whispers beautiful dreams over our lives that we may find our way individually and together. Amen. For which we all say,
thanks be to God. Thank you.
This morning's First Testament lesson is from Amos chapter 6, verse 1a and 4 through 7. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. And the epistle lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 19. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, lover of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This ends the reading.
Thank you, Harm. And our gospel reading today is from Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will be they convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Dear ones, if you are thinking, Huh. She's been talking a lot about money lately, huh, hasn't she? The answer to that is yes. We've been in the Gospel of Luke this year, and Luke in particular is very concerned about money. This story that we just heard is only in the Gospel of Luke. And this concern about money isn't just a Luke thing. It is throughout the scripture. Jesus talks a lot about money. He speaks more about money than anything else. Money talk is all through the Hebrew Bible as well. Jesus says next to nothing about sex and sexuality. He says very little about salvation. There's not much about heaven or hell. In fact, this parable is one of only a couple mentions of anything remotely like what we consider hell. And it gets a lot of attention for this possible little peek, but it's really not Jesus telling us about the next life. It's telling us about this life. This parable begins with this stark, closely linked lives of these two men. The rich man, who is not named, and Lazarus. They couldn't be more different. Once upon a time, there was a poor man and a rich man. The rich man wore purple and fine linens. Purple is traditionally the color of royalty. That's why we have purple in our sanctuary in Advent and in Lent. At the time of Jesus, purple dye was extracted from the shells of mollusks. It took a lot to get something colored purple. So it was very, very expensive. And then there's Lazarus, who is barely clothed at all, covered in sores. The rich man feasted sumptuously every day. The word means feast or celebration. Every day he eats like there's a party. And then Lazarus, not far away, starving, would have been grateful for crumbs that fell from the table. Every detail about this rich man suggests opulence and ridiculous extravagance. And then there's Lazarus, outside, on the ground, impoverished, starving. They couldn't be more different, and yet the two are connected. The poor man, Lazarus, he lies at the rich man's doorstep. They're separated by feet, but they don't interact. The rich man doesn't cause Lazarus to be impoverished, not directly. He's part of the system. He doesn't even seem to be particularly disdainful. It's just that Lazarus is so far beneath the rich man, it's as though he doesn't even exist. He may have stepped over Lazarus on his way in and out of his beautiful home. Certainly, he walked right past him, perhaps with eyes averted, as we all tend to do when we encounter someone who may be homeless. And then both men die close to the same time, and we see the reversal of fortune that's promised in the Magnificat when Mary says, "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands." And we heard on the Sermon on the Plain, when Jesus says, "Happy are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. How terrible for you who are rich now. You have had your easy life." So Lazarus is carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. So both men, Both men are his descendants. One winds up in his embrace. The rich man winds up in torment in another world. And somehow he sees Abraham far away and calls out, "Father, Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Already in this Gospel of Luke, we have heard John the Baptist say, it's not going to be enough to call Abraham father. It's what you do that matters. The fruits are what matter. And the rich man ate all of the fruit. He didn't show mercy, and now he asks for it. He calls out to Abraham and tells him, have Lazarus come to me with a little bit of water. You note he's still not talking to Lazarus, still acting as if Lazarus is beneath him. Father, Abraham, send Lazarus. And then he begs Abraham to have Lazarus go to his brothers on earth to tell them of their fate. And Abraham rebuffs this idea, partly perhaps because the rich man still thinks that he's above Lazarus, even now treating Lazarus like a subject, like a servant to be sent, not a person to be spoken to. But also because it wouldn't do any good. Scripture is filled with commands to care for the poor, over and over and over. And Lazarus and his brothers, they ignored all of those. Moses and the prophets. The Hebrew Bible is loaded with God's requirements to care for widows and orphans and immigrants, to pay just wages, to feed the hungry. Landowners were commanded over and over not to pick everything from their crops, but to harvest once and then leave what was left for those in need. The rich man didn't even leave the scraps from his table. The brothers had ignored all this, and they ignored Lazarus laying in the streets. So why would being visited by a spirit turn them around, change their hearts, when they were so determined to ignore God's commands? Abraham reminds us that there is no tipping point, no ultimate truth, which disbelief cannot turn back. There's no irrefutable evidence. There's no miracle that's going to defeat all of the brothers' self-centeredness and self-servingness and their doubt. All these signs, they could be ignored. We will never in this world be beyond the need for faith. So if Lazarus returned and said, hey, take care of the poor, would the brothers believe it was him? Would they trust his message? Or would they think they were having a dream, perhaps brought on by rich food? Maybe it was a joke. Maybe it's some malicious ghost. Why would a message from Lazarus be any more convincing than what they had already heard so many times? Jesus himself is ample proof, right, that resurrection from the dead is not enough for some people to believe. All the miracles and signs in the world can't persuade a closed heart. Well, a heart that is open to God and to love doesn't need all the miracles and the proof and the messages from beyond. The open heart would have seen Lazarus on that step. So the rich man and his brothers felt justified. The Talmud in Jewish tradition says, love of money is idolatry. Jesus says, love of money is idolatry. Now, Scripture doesn't give a comprehensive view of money. Surprise. I said before, you can do anything you want with this book. You want to justify war? You can. You long for peace? Oh my gosh, it's there. You want to have 12 wives? Okay. And mistresses? One wife, one husband? Jesus says that. You want to dance? You don't want to dance. Slaves. Anything you want. So there's not a complete comprehensive view on money. It's somewhere, though, between entirely terrible and spiritually dangerous. Money is not completely evil or wrong, but its purpose is caring for the poor and the needy and caring for Jesus' people. In this parable, Lazarus and the rich man are types, the poor and the rich. And they're types that ring true. There was a series of studies at UC Berkeley in the social psychology. It showed that people who have expensive cars are far less likely not to stop for pedestrians. They are more likely to eat candy out of a bowl after being told that the candy is there for children. Even setting up a rigged Monopoly game, the ones who have lots of Monopoly money felt a little entitled. The rich person in Monopoly money pulled over the snack bowl, put it right next to himself, said, hey, give me Marvin Gardens, in a directive, almost rude way, consistently. It's an experiment they repeated hundreds of times. The players knew that the game was rigged. They knew it. They heard it all before the game. And yet, the ones who had a bunch of money were still extra arrogant. So we heard this reading from the letter of Timothy. For the Bible nerds, probably not written by Paul, that famously says, love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if you look up this quote, if you Google it, you will find a bunch of unqualified preachers, perhaps on TikTok, telling you that the problem isn't money, it's greed. Now, this is convenient, right? Because none of us want to think of ourselves as greedy. The problem isn't money, it's greed. Money's fine. That's somebody else's problem. Except this would be a lot more convincing if the rest of Scripture bore it out, but it doesn't. Money is rarely value neutral. Now, was it money's fault that the rich man ignored Lazarus? No. Money, in our time, it's paper. It's just folded paper. Real money, not that different from Monopoly money, except we make it very, very different. It's just a thing. And it's a thing that can be very dangerous spiritually. There are a few in Scripture, a very few. Lydia, who sold purple cloth, who used her wealth to start a church, to support others. In a culture that depends on money, using money to help others can be a good thing. There's no real answer to whether a culture that depends on money is desirable or not. Star Trek tells us that we will develop beyond this. I'm not sure that's going to happen. We see that Jesus owned nothing. He was supported by mostly wealthy women who had resources. The message of the parable is for the wealthy to consider their responsibility, including the dangers of wealth. Indulgence, this mode of feasting all the time and wearing purple cloth and linens, fine linens, and as Amos said, lying on beds made of ivory. And justice, these are incompatible. Jesus makes clear over and over, and again in this parable, that the good news, if the wealthy hear it, it's going to change their lives. So it's a challenge to all of us who can take food and clothing for granted, while many can't. Now, it's an awful parable, right? It's awful. But the parable is for us. It's not against us. Jesus may have been trying to tick off some of his wealthy listeners because he did that. But that's not all he wants. He's issuing a warning. He's saying, I'm not going to send Lazarus to those five brothers, but I'm telling you right now. I am telling you right now. Don't be satisfied with nice suits and sumptuous feasts, because God wants you to have the whole kingdom. Don't be content to live in a world where beggars lay on the street outside, when God wants you to have beloved community. Don't get by on the parts of the Bible that back up the way you want to live, when God wants to give you a whole new kind of life. The best thing about this story is that it's not over. For the rich man, yes, but not for us. We are the five brothers. Jesus sneaked that lesson in for us. All that remains to be seen is what we do about it. Amen, dear ones. And our hymn is number 539, Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant?
Thank you.
Now it's time to share prayers of joys, concerns with God who knows all things.
Again, it's dangerous when they leave a microphone with an on-off switch right next to me. I've sat at this piano or a piano here or the organ for over two decades, and sometimes I will have to admit in the past I have taken hymns for granted, and I don't know what's moving over. I think I know what's moving over me, but I'm really invested in listening to the texts of hymns. And this past hymn, along with Pastor Jennifer's wonderful message today, really reminded me of a musical that I really love. Many of you will remember Walter Matthau and Barbara Streisand starring in the great musical Hello, Dolly. And Hello, Dolly, real quickly, Dolly is a very generous lady, and she's falling in love, and he doesn't realize it, but Walter Matthau is a rather stingy fellow who doesn't realize it, but he's falling in love with her, and he's complaining about her spending money, and she has a line that has stuck with me for decades, and it's, "Money is like manure. It does no good unless you spread it around." So, and I think that ties in with Pastor Jennifer's message and obviously the hymn that we just heard. So, I'm done.
Charles Thiber is dealing with some health issues, so I'd ask for prayers for her. And for those of you that remember Harlan Hartman, he's celebrating his 97th birthday today. So keep Harlan and the birthday celebrations close to your heart today.
I'd just like to offer thanks for people who are giving their lives and careers to working with the poor. In this community especially, I think of John and Sarah Ramthan and 6-8 and all the volunteers and people that work with them, but and people who, like them, live poverty as well by choice, so that they can just very authentically be with the poor, not just as helpers, but as companions and friends.
I would like for the congregation to pray for our dear friend Terry, who was completely healthy 6 weeks ago and found out last week that she has extreme terminal cancer and was given 2 weeks to live. I don't want to give a last name. She was born and raised in this community, so I'm sure many of you will hear soon about Terry. So I'd like to put Terry, her two sisters, and brother in our prayers, and there will be more to come on that. Also related to Pastor Jennifer's sermon, as last week the residents of Dairy Drive in Madison were put out of their homeless community, which was funded by the government during COVID, and they built these cute little houses that the homeless community were able to live in. And the Madison Council decided last week that they no longer needed it and they couldn't afford it. So some ungrateful people in Madison put a whole bunch of people back out on the street instead of giving them a place to live.
Let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for Charles and her health. Pray for Terry and Terry's family in this crisis. We pray for the homeless, those in Madison and locally. And we pray for the will to do something about it. And Holy God, we give thanks. We give thanks for Harland and 97th birthdays. We give thanks for people who work with the poor and dedicate their lives to making it better. And we give thanks for music that reminds us of what is good. Holy God, hear these prayers and the prayers in our hearts. Amen. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we do not have all the answers to the world's great needs, great pain, but we know this. Loving one another, practicing vulnerability together, and seeking the transforming hand of God heals and restores. So in this spirit, we bring what we have to share it with God and one another.
Listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Max FM. 99.7 Max FM.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. We are continuing our concentration on our 10 for 10 stewardship series. This is the last